It was like the fucking Stone Cold Steve Austin. Go, 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 do, 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 do. Do, 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 do.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast.
Sapnin!
Sapnin!
You are listening to episode 280 of Sapnin Podcast, featuring myself, Sean Smith, and my good friend, Morgan Richards.
La-dee-da. Yes, it's me, Morgan Richards. And I just want to warn people, if you have a quench for all that candy, then this will probably make you a weirdo on the bouncy castle.
Quench?
Quench. You know, when you like want, you're desperate for something.
No, quenching's when you get rid of, like to quench your thirst would be to get rid of your thirst. Have you just jammed that in? Is every week just going to turn into, oh, well, whatever the fucking songs are called, I'll just fucking chuck words in. You mad bastard. It doesn't, I don't think it works. Anyway, this week's guests are Scotland's finest. Oh, it's bold, that, isn't it? Take that, Biffy Clyro. No, are Scotland's megastars and are definitely going to be absolute megastars very, very soon. The brilliant Janine and Hamish of Verkhovi.
Yes. Now, chaotic is a word we use a lot, but oh my lord, wait until you hear what the four of us are like in a room together. There's a lot of Celtic accents. Just put that out there as well. We've teased this one for quite a while now, and there's a chat we have wanted to do for years. Verkhovi have become good friends that we always see at festivals, events, and just a band we absolutely adore seeing live and mixing so many genres. We got to record this in the Scotland backstage. Ooh. At the Glasgow date of the Blackout Tour. Such a nice experience, doing it a little bit different, hosting a band at a venue rather than the other way around of us two coming in and disturbing people's day.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Yeah, that's weird, isn't it? Yeah, I just realised that's the first time we've done that, the other way around.
Yeah.
Come to us, you bastards. But yeah, this was a fucking absolutely wonderfully fun chat. Yeah, we talk everything from touring to new music and who's producing a new record. And, yeah, we just had a fucking absolute great time with them. Just hung out, basically, and had a chat, and you're going to hear it right now.
So, yeah, nice. Yeah, literally. They did this while taking a break from a very intense few weeks of writing new music, just stuck indoors, getting obsessed with creating, as they prepare to fly to America this month to record. It's one of those conversations that we just hit the button and naturally shared so many stories and laughs together. And I think they are a band that deserve their flowers. They have been chipping away within the scene for over a decade in different forms. They've just signed to Sharp Tone Records. Their latest singles, Cheap Heat and Mercy Kill, have gone down a storm. Just sold out Electric Ballroom. And they're going to be playing a Downloads Festival in June, right before the Teenage Dirtbags of Wheatus and everyone's favourite metal band, Busted.
Yes, that's class. That is. What a great place to be. Nice. Imagine how many Busted fans are going over. Ah, oh, very cool. Yes. Thank you very much to Janine and Hamish again for coming out and making the effort to come to the venue to hang out with us. We loved having them on, and we will definitely speak to them very, very soon again, hopefully, for another catch-up on how things are going with them. But congratulations on selling out your London show. It looked fucking class. And yes, can't wait to see you. Well, it won't be long till you're doing the Forum and then Brixton Academy and then Wembley Arena. So nice.
Yes. Before we go into the conversation, just a reminder, as always, to help support us if you like listening to these rambles and chats via our Patreon page at patreon.com/sapnin. Over there, there's a whole community of people who embrace each other and go to gigs and festivals and just have the best time. They share memes, they share gifts. It's just very, very wholesome. So please get involved. patreon.com/sapnin. Without any further ado, let's get into the magic that is Vekovi on episode 280 of Sapnin Podcast.
Yeah, Sapnin!
Sapnin!
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Yeah, something.
We're starting.
Oh, what else are we doing then? What else are we doing then?
Go on,
oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, have we done a chat up on the mic now?
Are we going?
Sapnin.
Oh, it's too fucking late now.
I'm recording. Go, oh, go.
Sapnin.
Sapnin.
Hello.
Oh, it was the energy.
Do you know what? Yeah. Do you know how when I read your podcast?
Yeah.
I go, Sapnin. That's what it reminds me of.
That is your equivalent, though, to be fair.
Sapnin. So I saved your name under Morgan. Sapnin.
With all the S's.
Yeah.
Nice.
Thanks.
But yeah, right now we are in Glasgow City in the Scotland with Hamish and Janine of the mighty Vekovi. How are you both?
I'm actually quite good today.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah. I woke up the right side of the bed. We're literally balls deep in finishing up this album. So I genuinely can't think about it now, so I get so obsessed.
Nice. We were literally talking about lists and deleting things off lists today. That's where we're at right now. Oh, wow. It's good though.
Yes.
Yeah, so what how far into the album are you? Like what needs to be finished for us to hear it?
The songs.
We are basically like demo stage, so we are we just need to finish them up, but we've got way more than we thought. Like usually like in the past we've not really had the resources, the time, the mental capacity to like write a ton of tunes and then shortlist. So in the past we are like write on demand.
Yeah,
like
true.
Once we've written a song, that's it, it's going out.
Yeah.
But
yeah, we're not one of those bands that write 30 songs and go, right, let's take 12 of these. I don't think we have the energy to do that.
No, I think
I don't understand artists that can do that. It's incredible.
And it's fucking impressive.
Yeah.
I think when we do write songs, we just put all of our energy into that song and see if it's not working. Like, you know when it's something's just not clicking. We feel like we're putting too much time into one song, then fuck it off.
Yeah.
But actually listening through everything that we have, what, we're sitting on like 13 songs or something, maybe?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's 13, yeah.
But like, good songs. Like, you know what I mean? We're like, yeah, these are good. But then you do that thing where you're like so closed off from the outside world. We're like, is this good or is this proper shite? Like, we're like waking up them. You know when you have up your mad one and you're like, this is the best song I've ever written in my life.
Oh,
in the morning you're like, boop, 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 boop. What the fuck was I thinking last night?
So the flat that Janine has moved into right now, we have like a routine where we sit at this like lunch bench.
Yeah.
And we start like working on songs and listening through stuff, and about an hour in you order wine normally. That happens.
Yes.
And then we just I don't know, by the end of it we're just like, well, we've actually done a lot though. Do you know what I mean? It's dead productive.
Yeah.
Alcohol's involved, but it's dead productive.
Alcohol, like, yeah.
Whatever the process requires.
Well, do you know what? Like, yeah, I think...
That's like our routine right now, yours.
It
is. Do you know what I mean? It's like...
I've just moved into a flat. It was my friend I'm renting it from, because he tours everywhere. And it's such a lovely flat, and I'm really lucky to be there. But I've had a pure mad few weeks, like moving... house, and like finishing the album, visas. I had to go to the embassy. What a fucking joke, by the way.
Oh yeah.
See the US embassy, they can fuck off.
Difficult London for it, yeah.
Do you know what they try? I can't believe I'm moaning about this again. I've been moaning about this all fucking week. I can't even believe the fucking way they spoke to me.
Yeah.
Like, they try to get me to bin my £200 bottle of fucking Tom Ford perfume, and I was like, no. Why would I put that in the bin? Well, you need to go on a side quest to this cafe around the corner and ask them to store it for you. And I thought, is this a fucking joke? Someone actually winding me up. I thought it was like a hidden camera show or something.
No, they're renowned shitheads. Yeah, they're terrible people.
genuinely couldn't believe like the way they speak to you.
Yeah. Well, I remember we went and we were queuing outside for ages, and I saw Abby Clancy, which is Peter Crouch's missus.
Yes,
she jumped the line. We were like, Abby!
Oh! She did not.
Six Welsh boys just not giving it. Six fucking class Welsh boys. Clancy! Back in the fucking line, will you, love? Come in here with your fucking tall ass, but get back here! And yeah, when we went in then, we were just like, all just fucking shitting ourselves because they're looking for reasons, not to
quite you. 100%.
It's mad.
The questions.
They can be very... intrusive as well.
Honestly,
I was lucky. You had a shit time.
I had a shit time. I think
I was lucky.
Then I go, maybe I'm the problem.
I was about to say, you always have a shit time.
Maybe it's me.
Maybe I shouldn't have burnt that American flag the moment I walked in.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Maybe I shouldn't have changed my name to Death to the West.
Maybe I should have told him I loved guns.
Miss Death to the West. That's a cool name, isn't it?
Hey, song title.
Yeah, that was a song title.
Miss Death to the West.
But saying that, I've seen you guys starting to post excitement about going to Texas to record this as well.
Yes.
So I'm guessing that's another big thing off the list and something.
If we fucking get in.
Yeah, well,
we've been denied so far. But.
I think we're okay to record the album. I think it's just touring the album.
Yeah, you can't get paid.
Because you make money.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? So we can record and then what happens? Who knows?
When are you recording?
All of April into the first week of May.
Nice.
And then we head straight on tour. That's the problem. Because do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we're out there, we're stuck.
Wow.
Where's the
studio?
It's
Austin? Austin Hills, Texas, I believe it's called.
It's the machine shop.
Oh, nice. Oh. Nice.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Yes.
We've not told anyone that yet.
Oh, we love Machine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking love Machine.
Really?
Yeah.
Such a nice
guy. He's awesome. I've been thinking about you working
with him. Honestly.
Yeah, honestly. Yeah.
He's fucking awesome.
I'm so glad to hear that. Let's go. for the benefit of the team.
Wait, going to do?
There's an erection joke.
So how
do you
explain it?
I was going to say, like, I get goosebumps on the pod. Listen to this.
Oh, man.
Is that making a difference?
What the fuck?
Oh, the devil's fucking going.
That was fucking terrifying.
Oh, I think that might be the fucking Americans. They viewed us like Death to the West.
That's absolutely heard me talk shit about their embassy.
That was horrible.
Yeah, Machine's awesome. Mm. Awesome.
I'm so glad to
hear
that.
How did that come about then? How did...
It must be... Press the Miko boys?
Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah.
That was the end.
Nice.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah.
I think I don't know. I think it's hard to say what we think the album's going to sound like because, you know, yeah, things change so much. But
of course, yeah.
Right now, I think a lot of the music, I feel like we've stripped back a lot of shite, and it's more about the songs and the dynamics of the guitars and power and emotion. And I think working with someone sort of old school with our style, I think could create something pretty beautiful. It's trying to refine our songwriting style now, where it's like, does this need to be here? Like stripping things out, and when the guitars go hard, they go hard. And when the vocals are stripped back, it's emotional, and it's been a really good process actually. But I fuck knows, man. I don't know what's gonna happen.
We're so focused on finishing the songs right now. You know what I mean? And we've only really spoke to Machine twice on video call, three times. But he's been so like understanding, and like he's comforted us. Massively, in our nerves that we have, you know what I mean? And just the idea of setting up. And I mean, have you been?
No.
Studio.
Yeah. I've just seen you online, but
so have you worked with Machine before?
No, we had him. We had him on a podcast.
Oh, nice.
We've done an episode with Machine, and then
was that a Trees by any chance when he came?
No. So we did him like a year or two before that.
Right.
And then me and him were just walking through Trees, and all of a sudden he's like, "Hello." And I looked at his head and I was like, well, that looks like the American Machine. But
we were so confused. We were like, why? Yeah. How are you here? Why? Like it was just so...
We're in middle of Tory England. Why is the American
Machine
here?
Where does this come from? That's so funny. Bit of a surprise. But like you just look at his back catalogue. He's done so many varied stuff, like from Lamb of God.
I didn't realise in like the 90s, did he not do like hip-hop beats or something?
Well, Luke was saying.
We were talking to Benji from Skindred at 2000 Trees. And because I was like, Benji, like Skindred and Machine doing a record would be fucking incredible. This is why I'm so chuffed for you, because I think like this could be fucking brilliant.
Sure.
And so I wanted to like introduce them, and then I introduced them, and Benji was like, whoa, Machine that did like the Head P remake. And so he's just like started talking about this obscure remix of like Head P that Machine did. And then Machine was like, oh yeah, I did that. And he's like, bro, that's one of my favorite songs ever. And then they just started bonding, and he's worked with some fucking unbelievable bands. And
yeah.
It's going to be good. Actually, weirdly, like, because I know there's a documentary, the Lamb of God's documentary and all that, and I've deliberately not watched.
Oh, with him in it?
I'm pretty sure he's in it.
Didn't know, that's cool. I'd love to watch that.
I think he's in it. There's a documentary with him in it, and I've deliberately was like, I can't watch this because I'll get too intimidated or like starstruck in a sense of like, I think a Scottish self-esteem is pretty shite, so trying to like sort of take him for face value rather than
there's no A's and graces with him. Like he's not like fucking.
I think he's the perfect mixture of he wants you to just have fun. That's most important.
This is what I loved about Machine when we were wanting him. We shat it a wee bit, and then we're like, oh, we'll just have him bring him to Glasgow and do it. And then it was like, no, fuck that. You live once and all that.
Get out there.
But he did sort of put our mind to ease, and he was just like, listen, just enjoy this whole process, like. It's have fun with it, and we put so much pressure on ourselves.
I was going to say it's hard not to take this seriously for us. Is that you know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm.
But to have someone like him calm us down has helped massively. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, but despite being known by one name, he is an absolute legend. Very, very lovely. Like he's just normal down to a fella.
Yeah, I'm really.
But his name just happens to be Machine.
Like I remember when we first like we did a Zoom with him, and he thought we were just gonna ask him to maybe like mix it
album.
And I think we're like 5 minutes in. I just couldn't. I was like, I'm gonna be honest, we want you to produce the album. Just gotta put it out there.
Nice.
You can take it or you can give it right back. Yeah. But this is kind of where we're at. And I genuinely, his reaction, it was like, I'm so like, I don't know what the word is.
He's so humble, isn't he?
He was like, thank you. Like, I wasn't expecting that. And seeing his reaction, and then I was talking to Luke Callie from Press Amico, and he says, you're probably he's most excited to work with you guys next year. And it's kind of reassuring and reaffirming.
He's not one of these producers who is just another band on his catalog and he knows he's got another band coming in. Like, he takes it so seriously. Like, yes. We did a live podcast at Trees with the boys, went to first talk about Unpeople, and he's just there in the front row.
I listened to that.
And you're just like, oh, okay.
You just sit there and be like, oh, it's fucking...
Wait, get that guy a throne. What are you doing sitting on the floor?
Well, I know Machine's into this. He's not going to be at the front of our podcast, is he?
That's how you...
Gene! There he is. Unbelievable. He's fucking awesome. Yeah, he's absolute fucking lovely.
I think that's such a big... next step for you guys as well, because like, you guys have done this for so long now, you've done different kinds of albums and they've been received in different ways, I think, to kind of different subgenres. Like, I wouldn't say you guys have a label of like fitting in one scene. You kind of cross over in between everything, but I think over the last 12 months...
That's been a bit of a nightmare, by the way, having a crossover, because you get work with people that are like, I've got absolutely no idea what to do with them.
Yeah.
But no, over the last 12 months, I feel like you're getting a lot of flowers. Like, if you look at the Heavy Music Awards, you were nominated for 4 awards.
No, 5.
5? Sorry. I'm sorry.
Fucking get it right.
I'm not the journalist. Sean's not the journalist.
It's too many. I can't count past 4.
It's too many.
It's just too many.
Too many.
I was like, wait, why?
Like, yesterday, you son of a bitch.
See, when I did say 5, I was like, isn't it 5?
No, I'm glad. Like, then my head was like, it's definitely fucking 5.
You should have walked out. Ideally, she's on, it's 5, and then 5.
It's 5, and this interview's over.
Yeah, and that's enough of that. Thank you. Yeah. I'll send Machine your love.
I honestly, last year was like one of the best and the worst years of my life, genuinely. Like, I think having all of that recognition, and we changed teams, we changed everything changed up, and then having all of that, be nominated for 5 awards against some of the biggest bands in the world, and then winning at a category that against like Slipknot and Bad Omens, and like that can't my brain can't cope with that. It takes time.
Oh, it does. No, it
does.
So
when you have like people who are like, holy fuck, and like they want this response from you, and I'm just like, I don't actually know how to respond to this. Because we spend a long time working really hard and it being very fucking hard, like we all know. And then you kind of get a bit of like reaffirmance, and then you're like, oh, I don't know if I want this.
Yeah, you don't really believe it. You don't believe it.
You don't believe it. And then I just think, this is all going to get taken away from us. Mm. And then you become so protective of everything, and writing the album, writing music, for me, I find it exhausting. But in a good way, but I just can't really focus on anything else when you're thick in it, because it just is an escape for me.
Even the thought of writing music is quite tiring, because you're already starting to think about ideas, what can work, and then if an idea doesn't work, you feel like, oh, for fuck's sake, and that's
exhausting. I'm shy. Let's just give it up.
Or we failed.
Wasted
my time, that's it. Why do we bother?
We've had it.
I've been through all this.
Honestly, I'm going to be honest, I'm so glad that we came today, because I think we've been so... locked into creating, and like, there's a lot of things happening. There is a lot of things happening, and we're not used to this amount of pressure. So it's quite nice just to come and talk to you guys who have done it for years as well, and not feel like this is just us that goes through this.
Oh no. Like, yeah. When you were talking then about like being up against Slipknot and stuff like that, it's like, yeah, we've got nominated for stuff in the Kerrang Awards years ago, and we were just like, what?
Aye.
Me from Merthyr.
Uh-huh.
The fucking third worst town in Britain.
Is that true?
It was, yeah. What? I shouldn't be allowed in this Slayer, are they?
Yeah.
I shouldn't be allowed to.
Yeah.
I could touch Kenny King. Yeah. Get me out of here. There was loads of that. Like, our first Kerrang Awards, well, we've literally got a photo of Bob. They said, oh yeah, free whiskey. So Bob went... Bob just heard, oh, I will just drink whiskey from the moment I get in to the moment I leave.
Yeah.
And there's a photo of him. He's on the floor spewing. And Ken is standing over him. Oh, I just realized I forgot to do a podcast then, and I moved my mic over. Kenny King is standing over him with a Kerrang Awards and Alcoholics Anonymous t-shirt on. And I was like, That's mad. Like, that's an iconic mad. Quote.
That yeah. sounds like
that's
pure
art. Band I've loved for fucking years, standing yeah. over a plonker I know. yeah. That's mad. But yeah, there's been so many times where I've been like, we don't fit in here. But then you find everybody else feels the same in it. Like, the majority of people feel the same in a scene. Like, even Slipknot, to some extent, probably, like, I feel weird being there.
Oh, did you see Corey Taylor's like Instagram video recently?
Yeah,
when he was in his car just talking to his phone. That
He
was he's just struggling with, like, he said, mental health and mental health and that kind of what you're saying. Yeah, I'm sure even he feels a bit of an outsider sometimes. Mm. And he's like one of the most well recognized musicians in the world.
I'm starting to learn this. Like,
yeah. It never changes. This will never change.
We're not going to change. Like, it doesn't get easier. And that sounds like really depressing. Like, it really doesn't get easier. But it's trying to adapt to a new way of living in another way, another kind of angle of what we do is a certain level of fame and more attention from people, less privacy. And I'm talking as if I'm a fucking massive celebrity here. I'm just getting a little taste. And it's quite terrifying.
Yeah. I know. What you mean.
Yeah, but it can be intense. It can be very intense.
It's very and it just adds another level of pressure. And weirdly, because sometimes I'm like quite a private person, and then I'm like, well, what the fuck are you doing this job for then? Because people want to know everything about you because if your music's touching them and meaning something to them, and they want to know us and where the source is.
Yeah. Well, what I learned last night, because after the show, I DJ'd at Deadbolt in Manchester, and the amount of people who came to that after and wanted to have photos or have anything signed by me.
Right.
I was there 2 months ago, the same venue, DJing, not with a blackout. It was half full, and nobody gave a fuck I was there.
Yeah.
So the fact that this band is back now, and people are like, oh my God, he's shot from the black.
Yeah.
He never left.
I've
been there the whole time. Yeah. So you've got to kind of accept that as much as, you know, some people love you now or want you now, it's almost not real. It's almost not real. And it's like, yes, they can love you now. It's easy come, easy go. Yes. But you've got to take in that as intense as it can be, like I said, it's almost not real. Like, it's not a real
thing.
That's
a good way of putting it, because I do something that I think the past year for me, I'm like, I don't know if this is real life. Like, this all feels fucking mental. Yeah. But I think it's true, because, like, you could be a flavour of the year, a flavour of the month, flavour of the album or whatever, but those things do come and go. Yeah. And it's trying to just, like,
that's the one benefit we've had. We've never really been the flavor of the year.
Yeah.
We've always been a band that's like slowly growing.
Yeah.
Which has actually been wildly beneficial.
That would be that's definitely the better way to do it.
We're like a side dish on a plate and it's just getting bigger and bigger.
And I love the sides.
Yeah. Oh my God, it's just coleslaw.
Coleslaw? Fucking coleslaw?
For Kobe, Scotland's coleslaw.
Jesus.
I'm fucking raging about that.
Yeah, I don't know. Coleslaw. I said coleslaw. I really dislike coleslaw.
Coleslaw, wet, creamy.
It's a meal ruiner, coleslaw.
Crunchy. Yeah, I hate it.
Every time you burp an hour later and you're like, oh, just coleslaw. Not the delicious meal I had, just the coleslaw. Shit.
That's so rough.
Yeah, so sorry about that.
But I do think it's just been that natural growth for you, because
that's
I've seen you guys on so many different support throughout the years and stuff like that. And like, I was going to ask, did you feel a certain moment where all this has kind of changed and having that attention lately? Because again, just looking at the last 12 months, you know, there's the whole thing of signing to Sharp Tone and then getting bigger festival slots and stuff like that. Like, you guys have just always been here at it for the last like 10 plus years, basically.
It was COVID.
Yeah.
COVID changed it all for us.
Yeah.
We actually like massively progressed the band during that time.
Yeah.
We kept putting out music. And we came back and did our first headline tour once restrictions were gone, and that was our best headline tour we've ever done. Literally, we were like, oh, we can actually go to fucking Leeds and sell 350 tickets. We were not doing that before. Even close to that.
No.
maybe 150 if we're lucky. Yeah. Maybe. Do you know what I mean? So something in COVID changed.
It was
people not getting, well, people at first we were like, oh, well, we're never going to get to do this ever again. Mm. It's fucked.
Oh, right? Yeah.
And so then people were like, I'm never going to get to see a live band again.
Well, see, yeah. I think about COVID. One point, at one point with the way it was, you were like, I could be dead in a few months.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
When we first, it was like, you get it, you're going to die. Yeah. Hmm. That's fucking, how do people cope with that?
I was terrified of seeing my mother. Just
honestly,
the family
thing for me, like my mum and like my niece and people, like you just think like, I mean, it's a fucking miracle, man. I've no fucking had an absolute breakdown. All of it, any of us.
Think about that now and have one now.
I'm having a good day today.
Yeah, good. No, but that's the thing. It's like with COVID, like, you know, people who were into music were just like, oh, we're never going to get to see any band. So there was the big rush after it. Everyone's like, fucking, let's go. Have you seen if it's... What I saw with Raiders, my other band and stuff, it was at first people were really keen, and then they just kind of, it's kind of gone back to how it was in a way where people are like,
catch on the next tour.
Grateful enough that
it's reverted quickly to pre-COVID.
They've forgotten COVID. It's like they've forgotten the fact that we spent a year in the house and they were scared they'd never see bands again.
Yeah.
And they're like,
sure.
Ah, I can see whenever I want, man. So when we put this tour on sale, we had no other plans to do anything else, right? So then we got an offer from Slam Dunk, so we're doing Slam Dunk. But after Slam Dunk, we genuinely have no plans to do anything else at the moment, right? I'd love to, but again, let's see how this goes. And with Gavin fucking rupturing his tendon and his fucking foot, he's not going to be happy. But and the amount of people this week I've seen going, oh, I'm selling my ticket, I can't be bothered, I'll just go see him on the next one.
Sure.
I was like, what? There is no next one, Mark.
Next one?
Like, that must be really
annoying.
We've
been gone for 9 years. Yeah. Well, this is it. And because I'm fucking in charge of all the socials and all, I'm seeing it and I'm like...
Yeah.
But then I can't fucking convey my feelings to the boys because I don't want to tell... I want the boys to have the best time. That's why I've taken the band on. Like, I'm managing a band, booking it. Like, everything is me.
Wow.
Just so they have the best time with the least amount of work.
Okay.
I don't want to consider it work again. This is just 5 shows with our friends remembering.
Yeah.
And, you know, if the general public want to come, that's cool. Yeah. But yeah, it's, just seeing people over the last 2 weeks just be like, oh, I'll just catch them on the next one. Like, there's no next one.
All right.
You mad fuckers. Like, come on.
But
we've been gone for 9 years. Like, it's not even like it's been 6 months.
Yeah. Does it also make you want to keep doing it more though? With how well this is done?
I will play to nobody, so it doesn't matter.
You're the rockstar.
I never left the Blackout. The Blackout left everybody else, and the Blackout left me.
Yeah.
So
got you.
I see. I'm playing Raiders gigs now to nobody. So yeah, I just fucking love play, and I love supporting people because I know I'm gonna walk away with someone going, I fucking hated that boy.
Mm.
Or I fucking loved out. There's no fucking middle. Like, people are like, this choppy fat cunt, right? He's either very funny or he's an absolute knob. And I just like performing and going out there and playing to anyone.
My point with their role is I always tell people, just go and see your favorite band while you can, because you don't know. Like, another example is Umit 6 recently said, like, it's our last year as a band. And now everyone's like, oh, well, I love them. And
oh my God, I completely forgot. I love them. I've got this band. It's Josh.
And you're like,
why aren't you going to see them?
When's the last time you saw them? I've never seen them.
I saw about Reading once. Oh, great. Nice.
It must be weird. It must be weird, like, just seeing the difference coming back and then playing shows and then just be like, oh, well, okay, well, we've upgraded that or nowhere.
From, like,
it's fucking mental. Like, average Joes maybe don't realize how much support bands really do need.
Yes.
Maybe it looks like they don't need it from an online perspective, but they really need everyone's support at all times.
I think as a creative in general, you've always got to act like you're doing well, even exactly. if you're not.
Exactly.
So you can't be like, hey guys, we really need you to buy these tickets.
Even though I do this every week on a podcast, when we talk about the Patreon and we're trying to get people to join us, like, please, I literally need this money.
I would love
survive.
To just run a really honest social media account. Yeah. Yes. Super honest, like, tour selling like shit, guys. Yeah.
I'm not going to lie to you. This it's not going well.
I can't
well.
Pay my rent this month.
Literally.
But yeah.
You're totally right, though.
But going back to more in-depth things, I mean, like you mentioned earlier about like the chaos it is being of not fitting in to certain good, and I think chaos is probably the best word to describe you guys, because you've got the mixture of everything, and every time I see you live, it's just something wild happens or you're just having a laugh. I mean, is that one thing you just take into this rather than being like, oh, we're looking at emo or pop punk or whatever scene. It's just, no, just have fun. And if it works, it works.
I think the thing that I like about us is we listen to so much music from a young age, and it's so varied and random. And we also love listening to new music. And I think that's sort of like, we sort of take that all in. And then I think we just trust what comes out. I know that sounds like that's as simple as that. It's not, but I don't know. It's just, we don't go, we should make it sound like this genre, or like, it's just sort of our taste or how we're feeling that day. Or you're like, oh, this was fucking, you heard this song, this is pretty fucking sick. And then it will inspire you to do something similar. Or
yeah, I feel like every like month we like update what we're listening to.
Yes,
and, like, we'll
yes.
sit and listen to it together and yeah. stuff like that. And there's a lot of inspiration from that.
There's just so much. I think that's, again, for a few years when my mental health was really bad, I kind of stopped listening to music. I didn't really listen to music that much. I don't know if it was like that. I think that's when you know you're bad, because I'm like, I can't fucking listen to music. I don't want to do
that. That's what happened when the Blackers split up. I was like,
you like almost resent it.
Well, I was like,
I get that.
To me, I was like, there's not many front men that I would like, or front people like I would want to go and see. Because like my thing was always like, I love a wild front person. Like I love Frank Carter, Jason Butler, Dal Plumbo, Mike Patton. I love a fucking what, and yeah, when we split up, like a lot of those bands are like dying down. I think fucking Let Live and Knock on the Head, and like it was just before he made Fever and all this stuff, and like Frank had obviously left Carlos at that time, and I was just like, I don't think there's anybody I like anymore.
Right.
Like I can't be asked. There's nobody that gives me what I want. Like I need a wild front man. And then I was like, I was getting that from myself, because those had gone while I was playing.
Yeah.
I was like, well, I'm that now then.
And then
as soon as I finished, I was like, oh, fuck music. Crap,
yeah,
yeah, yeah,
it's rubbish, yeah. Really. Losers play. Can I be back in the band? Please, can I do the band again? Can I do the band again? Please, please, I need to be loved.
I need
to show off. Get some people in front of me. I want to show off.
That's the ego part of it. Yeah. And as well, as it must be hard if you like, if this ended for us, I would really struggle to listen to our peers, because I would be jealous in a positive way.
Yeah,
not like bitter jealous, but I'd be like, oh man, why are we not doing that anymore?
It's fucking shite.
It's fucking shite,
isn't it? It's pish.
It's a whole process, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's the thing, like, especially with how like competitive music is, really, because you're all fighting for slots, you're all fighting for people's attention.
People pretend it's not competitive. It's so competitive. I mean,
it's crazy.
Yeah.
When you think about support slots,
oh my God.
Like, you're like fucking,
you're up against hundreds of bands.
It's almost impossible.
I hate bands who get offered support slots and then don't take them.
Who would do that?
Cunts.
That sounds like a pure dick move.
Only cunts.
That sounds like a well dick move.
Something like that, yeah.
No, normally from the Northern Hemisphere. Yeah, it's weird.
Absolute set of bastards.
God. Deadpool or sick. Deadpool or fucking sick.
That was it. We were like, oh, well, can't have them. Anyway.
No.
I've forgotten what the question was.
Yeah. the thing that's been a question for the last 20 years.
It's been deep.
We've went round in fucking circles.
It was about competition.
It is. And I think, like, you know, as much as, you know, everyone loves to embrace your friends and other bands you do enjoy, like, it is hard when you're going through a rut or you are struggling personally, like, to see other people in the same kind of vein doing stuff and, like, you know, or just listening to stuff. Like, because, you know, I think that's why, and just music fans in general, I think that's why a lot of people get stuck on the songs they've listened to from, like, 14 to 22 24 ever. And then, and then after that, they struggle to find new music. So, like, from the other side of being creative and trying to keep up to date, like, it must be interesting just mixing all of that together and just trying to be in a healthy space, but like up to date space.
I think actually, I think film is a good thing. Another thing for me, like, just to get feel inspired. I'm obsessed with film and TV and soundtracks. So that's something else that sort of kind of helped to, I don't know, mold a style that you just, I think people are sponges. I actually think musicians subconsciously absorb a lot more influence than they think. And I think that's when you get in your own head and you're like, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. But actually, I think sometimes if you just trust the process and it's like, no, you know what you're doing. Like, you immerse yourself with beautiful art, and it's not just music, it's art, film.
It's so good
going
to
like, even like when I moved to Glasgow and I started actually going to more art exhibitions and just going a wander and finding random things, talking to people, actually having connections with other human beings that you've never met before. I can't believe how inspiring that's been for me, because you end up so much in your own head and you think the world evolves around you. And then, like, you go out one day and you meet this really beautiful human being. Actually, there's a place in Glasgow called Box Hub, and there's a woman there that sits, she sits here all day. I think she's blind. She had a really bad car accident, and she's now just a full-time artist, but her art is incredible.
Oh.
But she's mad. Like, she sits with a big cone in her head, like a cone hat, and she'll blather away to you. But I just think, I had a 10-minute conversation with that woman and heard her story. And I think that's something, I know I've went up your tangent here, but something in the past maybe 6 months, I'm trying to spend way less time on my phone and more time connecting with other humans and physical art and certain forms of art. And I think that's something that's really helped put this album together. It's,
I think, yes,
leaving your house and living your life.
Yeah.
You're right about, like, not too much music, because I think, like, you can become ungrounded quite easily and you look outward to these other bands too much. And I think that is, it's good to take some inspiration.
Yes.
But there's a point where you need to fucking, I don't know,
be yourself.
Well, you need to ground yourself and, like, get it from other places. Otherwise, you kind of might not get anything done, because you'll be like, how are they all doing so well and why are we not doing so well? And, like, and I always remember seeing, Tyler from 21 Pilots talking about it. And he was like, when he was writing, I think it was like, what's the album with Jumpsuit on it?
The Yellow...
Trench.
Trench.
When he was writing Trench, he said he built a studio and then he didn't look at himself in a mirror for weeks. He was saying when he was writing it, and I was like, I fucking love that. Just so he had, like, no point of reference of what he was like or how he was really feeling. He just fully submerged himself in the album and didn't listen to outside music though.
Yes.
And I fucking loved that. I thought that was so cool.
It's funny, because, like, do you remember, like, last year when we started writing the album, like, we were like, we don't want any outside influence. Fuck all your opinions right now. Yeah. It's try and make it as organic as possible. And I felt like we had to set boundaries with people and just to be like, we want to do that, lock ourselves away and just not have too much influence from other people.
Yeah.
Because it's really easy for folk to give you their opinion on how you should sound. And it's like, you don't fucking, you're not in the band or like. Yeah.
Oh, I've had members of the Blackout's fathers giving me advice, right? So one of their fathers, so when we got back together for Download, I went up and got our backdrop from one of their attics.
Oh, no.
And the father was like, yeah, that start of the party album wasn't very good, was it?
Oh,
and I was like, yeah, man. Yeah.
What you meant to say that?
That's why we ended up splitting up. I was like, yeah.
Well, so he was right.
No, he was right. But It was just the way he came across. And he was like, oh, well, this is what you should have done. And I was like, bro, you run a post office. Like, if I wanted advice on sending a letter, I come to you. If you need a song written, come to me. Like, yeah, so
that's the thing. It's like, it's so easy for folk to be like, you should do this, do this, do that, and it's like, you fucking do it.
Yeah.
Don't tell us what to do. You do it.
Go on in,
do it for yourself. My voice is getting really high. It's obviously some sort of, there's some sort of issue there.
I mean, I was saying this to Gina a couple of weeks ago. Like, I think you sometimes have asked, like you send demo. I don't send our demos to anyone but us. I just don't want to know. Even if they're I don't want to know.
That's something I learned as well. It's like not letting people hear things.
Yeah, because you can like take that information, then you like then, think on it, and you're like, oh, fucking hell.
We'll be like,
and then you don't get it done.
Yeah, like, they can't see what's in your head.
Exactly. Yeah. Like 100%.
So. Well, how much have you had to put up with just outside interference like that? Because I know you've done like co-writing sessions in the past with like just seeing how things goes and stuff like that. I'm sure, you know, just industry people just want to get say they've got involved somehow. So like, how much has it been fighting other people just to do what you do?
I mean, we just do what we want.
Mark from Lab, for example, put out the first and third album. Yeah. He just fucking lets you get on, mate.
Yeah,
he was. There we went.
Yeah.
There's no interference there. Actually, we've been quite lucky, but I think we are quite protective of like not taking in on too much opinions. Because sometimes it feels a wee bit like you're just trying to piggyback on what we've done.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it's funny because when you asked that, when I was just talking about that there, I didn't even mean industry. I actually just mean friends.
Friends are usually the most honest. I was kind of meaning more friends because honestly, I think industry-wise, like, folk try and tell us they were like, fuck off.
Yeah.
You fucking write a song then.
Oh, yeah.
Plus, if it's a demo, it's like, it's not even...
No, nah.
Yeah. Oh, I had a friend from Eartha tell me how we had a song called The Storm on an album called The Best in Town and how that should have been a single. And he told me, he was like, I would have got that Radio 1 A-list. And I went, how? How would you have done that? Bear in mind, you live in Eartha, you've never even been to London. Right?
Let's break this down, John. I don't know his name's John.
Walk into Radio 1.
Right.
I went, it's not that easy. They got security guards. Right. You got to sign in.
Right, yeah.
He went, I'd walk to the penthouse. I was like, it's mainly downstairs in Radio 1. Right, so you've gone the wrong way to start. You're wasting time. He went, I go to the top floor. I guess Zane Lowe, because Zane Lowe is fucking the man of the time. He was like, and I'd play him the song until he said it was good and then he made it. I was like, do you think Zane Lowe picks or like is the god of music in Radio 1? He's like, A-list, A-list. I was like, that's not how it works. And that's why you live here and do the job you do.
Don't do that for a living.
I would have got it A-listed. You know nothing about plugging radio.
Now you mention it. Oi, fucking.
I knew we shouldn't be playing that fucking plugger.
Oh, God.
Oh, I should have been having some knob from Eartha do it, man.
I want to live in your friend's mind. What life?
I know, man. That sounds very positive.
Yeah, he must be really healthy. Yeah.
The thing is, he'll phone me up. So I don't know what it is. I think it's a jealousy thing with him, right? So there was a band from our town called Pretty Vicious who started doing well. Zane Lowe, funnily enough, called the singer potentially the voice of his generation, right?
Ooh. Big Zane.
Yeah, they were like punky Oasis, I guess. And that friend who told me he could get Zane Lowe to sort it out, he would phone me up just to tell me how well the other band were doing after my band ended. And he's like, oh, yo, Pretty Vicious are doing really well. They're going out to Austin now to record or whatever. And I was like, all right, cool. Anything else? No, I just want to phone and tell you that. Why?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Fuck that guy. Like,
You're just telling me just because you're jealous of what I did or whatever.
It's so funny because I've started.
These are doing better than you.
I look and I can drive myself pretty crazy sometimes with stuff like that because I'll be like, what was your intention there? And then I go really like.
Oh, my friend's just thick as shit, so...
Right, okay, fair enough. Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh. Dumb, I always dumb, look at things with, like, skepticism. Yeah. And, like, I think, like, everyone's out to get me. So I'm like, what was your intention there? And then I think, oh, that was really mean. And then I just spiral out of control and I never speak to them again.
He's just a dumb ass.
That's good.
He's just a dullard from our hometown. The thing is, what I found is most of them are the same. It's like, on the way up, they can't fucking wait to, oh yeah, you're doing really well. And then you get to a level and they're like, I need to somehow bring you down.
Bring them down.
And I think that's what it, you know, his thing is with talking about other bands or whatever to me. And it's just because like, oh, well, you've gone and fucking lived this while I've not done much here. And
yeah.
Then, this band could be doing what you just did.
Yeah.
Maybe you didn't fucking do it, did you?
Yeah.
Bastards.
That kind of fully comes around to the whole outside influence thing we're just talking about. This is why I try not to take too much information.
Family and friends as can be dangerous.
Yeah.
It can be fucking dangerous.
It's too much information as well to take. It's just too much.
100%. And it's like them giving you an opinion that you don't think they realise the effect it has, because we obsess so much over the creative process and the brand and the videos and everything. So
have you seen the Lewis Capaldi documentary?
I was just thinking about that, by the way, that's and grim. I thought that's a prime example
when
of what I'm talking about.
When he's talking to his parents, so when he plays a song to his parents and they were like, I don't think it's very good.
They're criticising his song. It's like, you fucking, here, take the fucking guitar then. When you go, 1, 2, 3, go. No, hon, you can't do it.
Nah. I wanted to punch his father in the face watching it. I was like,
it was his mum's, like, his mum. Yeah.
But like, they were both just there and they were just like, no, I don't think
it was just crazy the influence that they still have on someone
him. It was sad to think that he felt he had to show them
get their approval when it's like, you don't need anyone's fucking approval. You fucking do you and do what you need to do.
He's
to
probably just bought them their house.
Do you know
what I mean?
Everything you've got is because of the past songs he's written.
But I can't write, but you're criticising my music.
Yeah.
I've just bought your house.
Does he still live in Glasgow? Does he live in Glasgow?
I have no idea.
I like the way I turned to you like you should know the address of every Scottish person.
I think he does. I couldn't tell
you. What if I tweet him? Will he come tonight?
I don't think he's been active for a year, but you
That's true. He did post the other day.
He's not going to see it.
Yeah, he's not going to see it. Shit.
My contact lenses just fell out, so I'm just going to put this...
rock and roll.
I'm going to do a little...
That's our first contact out on this podcast.
That's amazing.
Thank you for that.
I feel really...
Exclusive.
That is an exclusive. I've got really dry eyes.
that Lewis Capaldi thing fucking ruined me. I wonder if anyone at the venue knows him so they could get in touch with him somehow.
Lewis?
Yeah.
I mean, Nick, where she stays, knows him really well.
Does he tour with him or something?
Used to.
He was his production manager. He's out with Hosey.
Because I wonder if...
I think he is in Glasgow still. I'm pretty sure he is.
I'd love to know, because I'd love to have him on the podcast just to be like, what did you grow up on?
Mm.
Like,
yeah.
Because I'd imagine he probably likes Umeå 6 or something like that. Like,
interesting.
You know,
I think he said he likes a bit of Shikari.
So I'd love to chat to him.
That
would be good, wouldn't it? Like, to finding out who the... What were you into as a kid, man? I like Fall Out Boy. Well, nobody was expecting that.
Oh, man. I know, you just hope he's doing all right, don't you?
I love him. I love it.
Yeah. He's a fucking legend.
He's brilliant. He's got fucking an unbelievable talent. He's fucking comedian funny. He could have done either.
It's a stand-up show.
Yeah, he could have easily done either.
100%.
Yeah. Big part of his success. You know what I mean? It's like,
good on him.
He's so unique. And yeah, I think that documentary really angered me. Like, even his fucking manager.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, all of it was quite sad, really.
It really was.
Oh, God, yeah, his manager as
well. I'm making an absolute cunt of this.
Is it fixable?
Yes. Skip it.
I can recover.
I'm going to get an eye infection now because I've just dropped it about 3 times. And
give it a wash, man. Give it a wash.
Stinking fingers all over them.
When was the last time you played Glasgow?
Whose podcast is this?
I was just like, obviously Raiders as well. Just interested.
I don't know if Raiders have ever...
You know, this is my first time ever in Scotland.
What?
I know it's offensive. I'm sorry, but I've never been here before.
Said he hates it.
Wow.
Said he wants to fight. Said he wants to fight anyone from around here.
Oh really? Well, I've got my contact back in, so I'm fucking ready to go.
Oh, man.
Have we been here for like 3 hours? So yeah.
The last one I was here was with Punk Rock Factory. I DJed on the tour.
Right.
Yeah.
And I ended up doing Last Resort with them every night. So that was fun.
Oh, that's class.
Yeah.
Did they not do the Academy or something like that? Like, it's not a pure massive venue.
Garbage, I think.
Where?
The garage.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah.
And then they, 2 weeks after I finished doing Last Resort with them, they got Jacob E. Shaddix from Papa Roach to actually do it with them. And I was like, and the bassist messaged me and was like, you're fired.
You're fired.
And I was like, yeah, probably get a real fella in there. Yeah.
I can't even argue with that.
Yeah. Like if they were doing a Blackout song and then fucking Jacob E. Shaddix jumped up, I'd be like, get down, you cheeky bastard. And also, I can't believe you know who the Blackout are. You fucking loser. What's wrong with you?
As we start to wind down on the conversation a little bit, a couple of things I did want to bring up. And you talked about film and just that creative process. But I know, just talking to you at other things I've seen you at, is that directing has been such a huge part for you in particular, like these last couple of months, and just getting into the kind of visuals and all that side of it. Like, how much different is it for you creatively on that side, and how much does it affect the music? Like, do you see vision straight away as soon as you're writing the music?
Usually, yeah. And I go, well, you know, I'm like, I've got a fucking notepad. I don't want anyone ever to see. I said, see if I die, burn it. Because there's some fucking weird shit in
there. I'll sell it.
I'll rip out the pages about you. Yeah. Fucking stupid cunt.
I think you've got some mental drawings in it as well.
I have got some mad drawings, yeah. Well, actually, with the new album, I'll tell you a rough kind of concept.
Yeah.
But basically, I went for, I had 12 sessions of therapy. God, not last October, but like the October before. And it was the first time I'd really went to speak to someone openly and not just like, I'm talking to someone, but not really open up. And it was really fucking hard, and it was life changing. But when after every session, like, she'd be like, go home, maybe have a bath, like, have a lie down, do something. And I'm like, all right, I'm only talking. But it was absolutely exhausting me, and it was fucking me up. So I'd go home and paint. So I painted like 12 pieces.
Oh, wow.
Because I was like, I don't really know how to express anything, so I'm going to just put it onto paper. And then I showed Hamish a couple of them. One of them is in the repeat video. It's on the wall. And then he was like, why don't we do this for like the album? Like the concept of like, because the 12 steps of Christ as well, which is related to the Catholic Church. And
it's quite bold artwork as well. Yeah, it's very like shapes and contrast.
It's definitely fucking dark and disturbing. But the way that you described it was like an alien's landed on Earth and they've painted what they see a human to be like.
Nice.
So I kind of like that. That was kind of like the start of like the kind of what the album's going to be about. And we're just piecing it all together. But I think video wise, like as soon as we start writing a song and I've got a few like bits of lyrics and sounds, like I instantly just go into like visual mode. But yeah, I like tying everything together. I don't like there not be, I don't like loopholes. Like I love like everything being strung together very nicely. All one big sort of, I call it like a universe. That's why I just can't really struggle to focus on anything else when we're creating an album, because I open up a door to like this world that doesn't exist, and then I just stay in there and it's safe, and then I build all of these ideas. And
would you ever do that for another band?
Yeah, so I was gonna ask.
I would love to do that for another band. I'd love to direct. Definitely would like to do more of that. I'm still learning though. So Creep Heat and Mercy Kill, big learning curves for me. And then this video, this album, I think we might do maybe like 3 videos. So it's going to be a big challenge, but I love it. I really do love doing it. But it's taken a long time for me to believe that I can do it. And that I'm worthy to do it as well, not just the front person. So yeah, we'll see what happens.
Yeah,
you were going to say something.
I can't remember what I was going to say now. That, it went deep.
Yeah. We went a bit deep there.
No, I was going to say, like, you were talking about how you can't like when you're focusing on putting the album and the project together,
yeah,
it's hard to focus on anything else, because when you come out of doing it, it's hard to get back into it again.
Oh, yes,
you
know what yes. I mean?
So it's like,
because you shut the door and you lock it behind you.
It's sealed.
Aye. And then you're like,
but sometimes the relief of sealing it for a while is nice as well.
Yeah.
So it's quite hard to get back into it after that feeling.
Yeah. I remember talking to you at the download launch party and you were like, people are worried that it's going to get taken down on YouTube and all that and
the
stuff.
Fucking video.
Yeah.
They demonetized it and the Catholic Church won't try to get it down. And Instagram took our page down for a day. Because yeah, they like really? Trailer weird.
They blocked it from new people that don't follow us seeing it, I think. So we had to delete the trailer for the video and then it came back up. But
yeah,
it sucked because the trailer was really cool as well. It was really annoying having to delete it.
I didn't even know they could do that.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah.
Oh, we only noticed, I think, because Calf, our manager, was like, I can't see your page.
Like, absolutely. I fucking shat myself. I was like, if Instagram just fucking will
what
app,
fuck?
Bye.
Yeah.
But that's the worry, see, is like, I think about this all the time. It's like, what if that happens?
when
we lose the internet, like when
totally
surely it's just like a power outage or something like that.
it's one plug.
The servers.com.
Yeah,
one fella tips his coffee over one laptop somewhere and all of the internet's gone and we're all like, how do we
do you know
flyers
what?
We could go back to flyers.
this is a good, just you saying that there, like, this is something that I think a lot of people don't realize how important live music is. People that physically leave their house to watch you, that's fucking incredible. Like, you can't fake that. You can't pay. You literally, it's one thing in this industry that you can't fake.
Yeah.
People turning up, physical bodies turning up to your shows.
Everything else you can fake.
This is what yous are doing with this. That's fucking amazing. The fact that they're literally, I mean, if these fucking skint, the country's fucked, but these people are literally leaving their houses. And this is why, like, with our shows now, selling at Electric Ballroom, like, that means more to us than, like, a post getting certain likes or...
Still kind of gone.
Yeah. I mean, it is fucking shit. But Instagram control nice all that. Yeah. Like, nothing's organic online anymore. It's all controlled and all algorithms. Yeah, so that's not a real way of measuring your success. It's all about perception and it's so fucking, I hate it.
It's mad, isn't it? The bodies through doors is the only thing that
you
really matters.
You can't fake it.
Because Spotify, you can fake to an extent.
Well, now you can't.
Plays, likes, followers.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You can fake
like
all
YouTube,
that.
Like YouTube, for example, like YouTube demonetized Mercico because of its violence and all that fucking shit in it. But it's like, so that they control who watches that video.
Hmm. Yeah.
So we can't,
it won't be pushed out. Yeah, totally.
We can't do anything about
Raiders
that.
We did a video as well where I shoot myself in the head in the video. And YouTube has gone, nobody can see this. They basically shadow banned it. So like, even if you search it, like, it doesn't come up. You've got to go through the channel and find it.
Makes me want to change, like, I don't know.
How did you shoot yourself? How did you do it?
Very excited about that.
I'm good, I'm fine, just
a classic gun to the head in Sheffield.
Okay, cool.
We went up with Aaron from While She Sleeps and he shot a video, and so basically there's a point in the video where it's me and another guy with a gas mask sitting opposite. And somehow he's got control of me and he picks up a gun, and so I pick up the gun or whatever.
Ooh.
And then at the end, takes the mask off and it's me.
Oh, that's cool.
Two of me.
I love that.
There's
shit.
Two of me.
Yes.
Which is the world's worst fucking... Imagine that.
Oh.
This one is too much. Like.
Two quick things I want to get in while you guys are here. I mean, it would be stupid for you guys to be in front of us and we don't get the story of Mr. Freeze from 2000 Trees, because
that feels nostalgic already. It was only like 4 years ago.
Mr. Freezer.
Mr. Fridge.
Mr. Fresh.
Mr. Freezer.
Mr. Freezer. Mr. Fridge. Do you mean the OG, the time he was the birth of the Mr. Fridge?
Yeah. Because it's becoming so...
Some
like,
fucking band, like, I remember some band claimed that it was them and it was fucking us.
Do you know what? I think I've heard that. Yeah.
I remember...
Did we talk to him? Have we talked?
No. I think so.
It's not us, that's Pep. perpetrating this rumour, is it? We're not sending
no, I don't think so. No.
Well, they have a fancy dress competition every year, don't they? Trees,
yes,
right?
Yes.
So he turned up to the 2019 one.
Right, we paid the main stage. I thought opened I was tripping. I genuinely was like, am I having a fucking mental breakdown? Because there's a fridge over there.
Of the pit.
An actual fridge.
Yeah.
Now, this fucking costume, it's the best costume. He had bird's eye peas and all that in his top
drawer.
Bit. Opened it up, there's like chicken dippers and like actual like, yeah. This guy put in so much thought.
Yeah, yeah. Amazing he took it into the pit, honestly. Yeah.
Oh,
but like, nah.
I don't think he had a choice.
No, I don't think he had a choice.
In the pit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they get rid of him. Yeah. He's just like, what?
He's crying in his costume.
Come on, crowd surf him.
But the problem is his tears are freezing. His head's in the freezer bit. He's like, instantly.
God, that's horrific.
That sounds painful.
Good times.
Yeah. Did you turn up at a gig as like a random gig you did somewhere? Like Bristol or Cheltenham, right?
We were playing Cheltenham.
Frog and Fiddle.
And then, like,
in the fridge. In the fridge.
In the fridge. He turned up in
the
fridge.
Like, oh, it's me, the fridge.
Do you know what? It was in the fridge.
Hi.
The whole crowd were like, Mr. Fridge. And do you know what way I was standing there? I'm like,
he's a local celebrity.
Yeah.
He's back.
Yeah. He came in quite late as well. Through the back, he just walked in.
Dramatic offense. It was like was the single. Fucking Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Did you introduce him? I can't remember what happened.
I didn't know he was going to be there.
I don't remember. Yeah, yeah.
So I was pressuring myself for about 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And then I was like, let's fucking go.
Yeah, get him surfing.
Brilliant.
And then he turned up last year.
He turned up to the trees set last year.
And you got him surfing.
There's some great videos of that, actually. Well, I could hear him screaming underneath the, like, everyone like picked him up and started. He was like, "No, baby, no!"
That was one of the best shows we've ever played. Yeah. That tree set. It was fucking amazing.
Yeah, we watched that.
It was so much fun.
Yeah.
It was so much fun.
We were booing.
Were you? I fucking love a challenge.
More fridge.
I love a challenge.
We're only here for the fridge.
he did steal the show.
No, he was rocking last year.
I really loved that set.
Really good.
Yeah. And I just wanted to ask as well, obviously, without offending you again, this is my first time in Glasgow. Any recommendations? I stay tomorrow. I have a flight tomorrow evening. So what's your recommendation? What do I need to do in Glasgow while I'm here?
Okay.
Like food or
anything?
You like,
I have
you
no
like,
plans tomorrow apart from my flight.
Do you like to eat? Do you like to eat? Well, it depends, but there's a Salvador Dali painting at Kelvin Hall, Kelvin Grove Museum. It's beautiful. It's got Egyptian.
I'm just imagining you're like, I fucking hate art.
I hate art. I don't want to see fucking Dali.
Salvador Dali, he played for Romania, didn't he? In the 94 World Cup.
I think it's a beautiful museum,
okay.
But God, there's my mind.
I love Glasgow though.
It's fucking class. Like,
see, people ask that. I don't have a clue what to tell you. There's loads of good bars, loads of good places to eat, but
there's just so many. Like, I'll have a think.
Okay,
because there's just so much to do. Yeah. Like,
it's quite small as well. Glasgow's not that big.
Yeah,
so it's easy to like go a walk and find some stuff.
Or you could just do the fucking underground pub crawl. You just basically
go... He doesn't drink, so it's not...
Oh, you don't drink?
Yeah.
Right.
Boring. Never had a drink.
Honestly, they just thought you may get the subway. Get the subway. Just get the subway.
Just get the subway.
It does a loop. It just sucks. That's your day.
Fall asleep on a subway.
Honestly, man, this is why I love Glasgow, because some guys have sat in a room and be like, right, we need to plan out this whole underground system. We've got an hour, because I need to go and pick the wains up for school. And this guy's like, we'll just do a circle. Why don't we just do a circle? Do you what? You're on to something, by the way. And then he's like, and then see if you miss a stop, just stay on.
Yeah.
All the way around.
Yeah.
And then he's like, let's get that written up and get to fuck. Yeah. That's why I like Glasgow.
Nice.
Well, there we are. There we are. Yeah.
Underground.
On the underground. Oh, it's beautiful though. It's really old style carriages and
have
like.
A look.
I mean. Maybe do something else though. There's going to be all these Glaswegians listening, but that's what you fucking told them to do.
Of all the things going on in Glasgow, you've got him sitting on a train.
Going the underground.
Why not? Oh, look, guys, thank you so much for taking the time and coming down to the venue to have a chat with us. We've wanted to do this for ages. So
yes, we have.
I know.
Finally do it in person and just have a good laugh with everything. So
I appreciate you asking it down.
Yeah, thank you so much.
It's actually been a really welcomed like break from pain.
When we left the flat today, Janine was like, oh, fresh air.
Honestly,
outside exists.
Actual like clouds.
Clowns.
Clowns.
Yeah, thank you guys so much. It's been class.
Thank you for doing
this.
This has been
quite enlightening, actually.
It has been enlightening, thank you.
Yeah.
Can't wait for the album. So
yeah, that's gonna be good.
Yeah. You and Machine.
It's a machine I love.
I know.
Yeah,
can't wait. See.
I'm buzzing that you're buzzing. That's
cool. Yeah,
fucking awesome.
I saw Goosebumps.
Leave me be. Stop talking to me. I'm getting Goosebumps.
Awesome.
Didi. Stop it.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Ah! Woo! I see. I did a bit of Scotch. Eh? It's a bit of Scottish. I can't even with a bit of. Okay. Anyway, yes, that was the brilliant. I'm very sorry for my Scottish racism there. I didn't mean that. You feel free to do a Welsh accent whenever you want. Boyo. Oh, right, boyo. How's it going? Yeah. Anyway. Yes. Fantastic. Lovely. Beautiful, wonderful, exciting chat with Janine and Hamish of Vicovi. Yes, they're working with our friend Machine!
Yeah! What a scoop and what a great just bunch of news to experience because we love Machine so much. You've probably heard about it so many times on this podcast, but like that is such a good combination
what
with how Vicovi are with just mixing genres and not staying to a certain scene or a kind of subgenre. It's going to be fucking insane.
Oh, unbelievable. I can't. I'm so excited for him. Like, genuinely, I would. I would love to hear that. But the problem is, I'm going to. So hurry up and give it to me. Yeah. What I'm saying is, I want to hear that fucking now. Like, it's going to be fucking good. Putting those two things together, It can't equal shit. It cannot. There's no way. Do you know what? If they manage to fuck this up, fair play to them. Fair play to Janine and Hamish if they fuck us up because you're great songwriters. You're working with a fucking super producer. There's no way you can fuck it up. So there it is. Tidy. I can't wait for this album. I can't fucking wait.
If you're not familiar with some of Machine's work, he's produced records for the likes of Lamb of God, Every Time I Die, Gym Class Heroes. The list is absolutely endless. And we had him on the podcast a few years back on episode 96 that I encourage you to go back and check out. I know that sounds like fucking forever ago, but it's such a wonderful conversation. We encourage you to go back and check that out and get to know Machine a little bit more. But yeah, just really enjoyed this conversation. I enjoyed our trip. Well, my first ever time in Scotland. I'm glad we got to do this.
Nice.
There, got lost a little memento.
Lost your Scotch virginity. That was nice, wasn't it?
Yeah. Then the day after, I did go on the underground. It's a giant circle. They were correct with that.
I like the way you went on the underground to see if they were liars. I'll be the judge of this for Covey. You reckon this fucking track goes around in a circle? Well, I'll be. Yes. Here we go, Ed. Oh, it does. but no, I fucking love Scotland. I don't know if it's the Celt thing. It probably is, isn't it? It's just, we get on. We all love each other. I love the Scottish. It's just, yeah, it's class. I fucking love me some Scotland.
Yeah, and while we're talking about people from Scotland we love, we should give a huge shout out to your tour support band, Dead Pony, because today is the release of their debut studio album, Ignore This, and what a ripper.
I really, nice. Really enjoyed seeing them every night on the tour with you guys. Their song Rainbows is cracking. They've just put a music video out for.
Very catchy.
So yeah, go and check them out. They've been on the podcast a few weeks ago as well.
Yes. Everything Morgan just said, go and check out Dead Pony. The album's called Ignore This. And yes, absolutely beautiful humans and great musicians. So yes, check that out. We loved having them on tour. I've loved this chat today, that we've just listened to with Vakovi. It was great. Yes. Yes. I don't know what I just, yes.
If you've enjoyed it as much as Sean has, let us know at Sapling Pod on Instagram and the app formerly known as Twitter. Put it in your story, share it. We'll reshare it. We can all just have a giant love fest and tell your friends because it desperately helps us a lot. And if you want to help us even more, please head over to patreon.com/sapnin. If you head to the description of this episode, there's loads of names there that we thank. But as always, Sean is going to give a massive shout out to the elite members of our Sapnin Patreon podcast community.
Yes, check out the description of this podcast wherever you are listening to this podcast and you will see some absolutely amazing names of the brilliant Patreons we have. But as Morgan said, these are the top members. And I have to say a massive thank you to Kylie Wheeler, Mayumi, Paul Hirschfield, Scarlett Charlton, Nathan Croshaw, Mitch Perry, Tony Michael, Dilly Califragilistic, Expiala Grimwood, They Who Shall Not Be Named, Amy Louise, Molly Malloy and James Bowerbank, Kat Besant, Alexandra Pemblinton, Kieran of Nothing Minor, great band. Not my words, the words of Kieran. Thank you very much. John Gutierrez, Jenny Robson, Amy Dawson, Murray Grimwood, Pick It Up. That's Scott Jones. He still hasn't changed his name after the mutiny, after our Emo's Not Dead cruise. Go back and listen to that. That was very funny and great. Thank you very much. Stuart McNaught, Caroline Robson, Stephen Aston, Kate Puttack, Jenny Munster, Carl Pendbury, Louis Cook, James McNaught, John and Emma, Jason Heredia, Danny Eaton, Martina McManus, Sean Foynes, Thomas O'Neill, Evan, Dan Peregrine, Ollie Amesbury, Emily Perry, Khalida Keane, Adam King of the Goss Parslow, Sophie Ansell, Josh, I have a disease where I can't stop telling airport jokes. My doctor says it's terminal crisp. Lambda Lee Martin, Vicky, Laura Russell, Fraser Cummins, James, Kyle, I Can't Die, number one fan is Sean Smith. I see what he's done. He's put my name and his surname because we're both Smiths. Yeah, anyway. And last by no means, Connor Lewins and family. Thank you very much to all of those beautiful people. Literally, this wouldn't happen without those people and the people in the description. So thank you very much for keeping us going. We have got to do some amazing things, and it's because of those Patreon people. If you've listened to 5 or more episodes and you haven't become a Patreon, I don't know what to say that isn't absolutely terribly evil. So I'm going to leave it there. Seriously consider becoming part of a Patreon, please. Thank you.
But I mean, yeah, keep them guessing. Maybe they'll be so scared of that they'll have to sign up. Who knows?
Yeah, Sean threatened me by a podcast today, and I don't know what he'll do. So, just best join the Patreon at patreon.com/sapnin.
Yeah, get involved with Evan. Get involved. Well, this is about it for this week. We'll be back each and every Friday with new episodes, guests, laughs, chaos, and fucking who knows what. But thank you for listening. And until then, keep party rocking, I guess. I don't know what else to say.
Yes, keep party rocking on in the USA. I don't know.
Sapnin!
I'm losing my mind. Gonna make this really easy for you.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast with Sean Smith and Morgan Richards. Thank you very much for downloading this podcast or streaming it, or I don't know what else you do with podcasts. Thank you very much.